Yeah. I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My love, defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Bartimaeus. And in this story, you get the idea that Bartimaeus had heard of the encounters people were beginning to have with Jesus. He knew Jesus had a reputation as being a healer. And so this blind man one day was sitting by the side of the road, and a great crowd begins to pass by him, and he hears that they're following Jesus. So immediately, the Bible says, he began to cry out, "Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me." And the story goes that there were people around him who actually tried to silence him. I don't know if maybe they thought his need was insignificant to Jesus, but he didn't listen to them, and he continued crying out, "Jesus, Jesus." And the Bible says that Jesus heard his cry and ultimately restored his vision because of his faith. And one of my favorite parts about this story is that Bartimaeus knew the name he needed to call on. And he didn't let those influences silence him. He kept persisting. And I wonder how many of us today are in the room and we just need a fresh reminder whose name we need to call on in our times of need. Do you need physical strength in your body because of an illness? Call on the name of Jesus. Do you live in fear of the future? Call on the name of Jesus. Do you need to experience that love that never leaves you, that never abandons you? Call on the name of Jesus. There might be influences. There might be people in your life trying to silence your cry for Jesus. But I'm just here to remind you not to listen to them, and that the Bible says there is power in the name of Jesus, that we can cry out to him. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to sing a song that might be new for some of us. But I love that this song puts those cries of our heart to music in a way that allows us just to express to the Lord who he is and what we need. And so as we sing and as you listen today, just let the power of Jesus' name wash over you. He is healing. He is life. He is power for your situation today.
Speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name.
Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Thinking as we were singing that song, it says in Philippians that Jesus was obedient to death, and it says that God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. His name is above every name. And it says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Come on, say that with me this morning. Just say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Jesus, your Lord Jesus. Jesus, we love you in this place. We lift your name high in this place. Thank you for all that you've done for us through the cross, Jesus. And Jesus, we do. We bring every situation, you know every situation in this room today. We speak your name, your power, your peace, your life, over every situation represented here this morning. Jesus, we love you. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, church. Yes, we love you, Jesus. You can go ahead and grab a seat. Thanks so much for worshiping with us. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. You with me? Come on, it's good to be here. I am super glad to be here. I was in Montana this last week with my family. It was 21 hours of driving each way. And with three kids, that's not exactly a walk in the park. But man, I was thankful. My brother Nathan, you know Nathan, tagged along with us. He was riding the car. And part of his payment was he had to sit in the back and take care of the kids on the way there and on the way back. He did a good job. Give it up for Nathan. Thanks, brother. I'm just joking. It was good having him along. And if you're wondering, my dad is doing very well. We were out there with my parents. He's actually preaching in Denver this morning at Brave Church. So if you want to check that out later, see how he's doing, you can go to Brave Church and hear him preach as well. But it's good to be back. And if you're new with us, my name is John. I'm the senior pastor here at Northwood. So great to have you visiting with us as one of our guests. And we would love to get to know you more. In fact, you can text the word new to the number on the screen. If you have any questions about Northwoods, you know, just as a guest, we want to let you know what's going on in our house, let you know where the fridge is, where the bathrooms are, right? So text that number. And if there's any questions you have, any way we can be a resource to you, we would love to do that, and we do that through that number. Also, for those of you who call Northwoods home, you can take out your phone, open up the Northwoods app, and you can fill out the connection card, let us know you're here, how we can be praying for you. And as always, you can always access any of the information we talk about in announcements through the connection card. And then, church, I also wanted to say thank you again for your faithful giving. You know, I live in the same world that you do, where prices are going up all over the place, and money doesn't go as far as it used to. And so I just want to say thank you again to those of you who are continuing to be faithful in your giving and put God first, because I do believe, and I've seen this in my own life, that God will honor that. And it's our giving, I always say this, that helps fuel the growth of what God is doing in this church, through this church, in our community, and all around the world. And so there's many ways you can give. You can give online. You can text to give. You can give cash or check in the black boxes at the back. And however you do it, just again, I want to say thank you again for your faithful giving. You know, as we were driving this past week, as we were coming through the end of South Dakota and into Wyoming, there were some places where what we were seeing weren't hills, but they weren't mountains. And so I had Nathan look it up, or my wife. I'm like, what are those? And it was like, those kind of look kind of like mountains, but they're smaller, but they got flat tops. And I was reminded, those are called plateaus. And, as I was thinking about that, many times in our relationship with Jesus, we get to a place where we plateau, and our growth just kind of stops. It plateaus. And why is that? Because many times there can be besetting sins in our life that we just can't get free of. There can be false beliefs that we're hanging on to and living out of. There can be emotional wounds. And so that's why we offer Get Free here at Northwoods. It's really all about helping people find freedom to be all that God designed them to be. And our freedom class really gets at the soul level of a person, which we believe encompasses our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so that's where we're getting at false beliefs, false thinking, emotional wounds, besetting sins. And so if you've never been through Get Free, I would highly encourage you to check it out. You can go to northwoods.church/get-free. That's coming up at the end of August. It runs August through part of October. So you can check that out online if you'd like more information about that. Today, we're continuing in our series 7, The Redemptive Names of God. And you're going to get to hear from our Canton campus pastor. And then next week, I'll be here closing out the series. Then the week after that is Next Gen Weekend. It's a week I always look forward to as the former youth pastor here at Northwoods. We have the students basically lead worship. They help with some of the creative elements. And you get to hear from our youth pastor, Brother Bruce Nielsen. He's a good guy. I like Bruce, and I know many of you love him as well. You get to hear from him Next Gen Week. And then also, I want you to mark your calendars. Coming up on Sunday, August 21st, it's Lake Baptism Sunday here at Northwoods, and it's going to be a party. Come on, if you've been here for Lake Baptism, you know it's awesome, right? And so listen, Lake Baptism, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, but you've never taken the next step and gotten baptized, well, put it on your calendar because this is your time. Really, in the New Testament, when you look, when someone surrendered their life to Jesus, baptism followed almost immediately. And so baptism is really the next step in your walk with Jesus. And so you can plan for that. We'll have everything you need if you've never been baptized. We'll have the clothes. We'll have towels. You just show up ready to respond, and we're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate all those who take their next step on August 21st. Now, today, like I said, you're going to get to hear from Jason Gilmore, who's our Canton campus pastor. He has actually never spoke here in Peoria, and so I want you to welcome him and give him a big, loud welcome in just a moment. Now, Jason, I also want you to know, Jason, to tell you this in a moment, it's actually his 18th wedding anniversary today. So give it up for this man, Jason Gilmore.
Thank you, brother. Wow. Doesn't make it any easier to remind me right before I get up here that this is my first time speaking from this platform. But I must say, Northwoods, oh, I am so thankful for our church. Can we give Pastor John an amazing round of applause for his leadership? His love not only for Jesus, but his love for the church. Not just Northwoods Community Church, but the church as a whole. And, oh man. Can we take a moment real quick and welcome all of our campuses, all of those that are online. Give a big hello to especially my home campus, the Canton campus. Where are you at, Canton? We love you. We're glad you're joining us. And you guys online, we are so thankful for technology and that you are able to catch what God is doing in this house. Now, most of you here probably think I'm the guy that was playing guitar back there. Or I sing on Sundays, but that's not me. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. You don't want to hear me sing. That's for sure. We look alike. We're doppelgangers. We have no relation. We're friends. And I just love it because my son, he actually, in a loving way, refers to Josh Rivera. That's who I'm speaking of. He refers to him as fake Josh. And so I guess you guys can consider me fake Jason. Or wait, I said that backwards. They consider him fake Jason, so you can consider me fake Josh. And if my message goes horribly wrong like it already is, my name is Josh Rivera and it's so good to be with you today. Now, in all actuality and truth, most of you here probably know me better as Shauna's husband. Shauna is amazing. I love her, and it's, hey, yeah, give it up for her. She's put up with me for 18 years. My shenanigans, yeah. But she is absolutely wonderful. She is truly the greatest gift from God. And like John said, we're celebrating 18 years, and it has been, yes, it's been work because of me, but it has been absolutely wonderful. I wouldn't change it for the world, and I'm looking forward to the years to come. We have two wonderful children, Jackson, who is gonna be turning 14, and I tell you what, he's a better version of me. The brilliance in that kid is incredible. And then we have a daughter. Her name is McKinley. She is 11, and she is going on 25. She's full of compassion. She loves people. She wants to just care and to make peace with everyone. And she has a heart for animals, and it drives me nuts. But I must say, as much as I still need to teach them and to raise them to be producing adults that are in society that can actually function, there's so much more I need to teach them. But I will say this, they're two of my greatest accomplishments, and I'm so proud to be their dad. And again, I can't, John messed me up with celebrating our anniversary, but Shauna, thank you for 18 years. It's been wonderful, and I look forward to it. Now, for the past 5 years, I've been the Canton campus pastor, and it has been such a huge blessing. And before we get into the message today, I just want to give you a quick update on what's happening in Canton, because most of you don't know what's happening because you're here. And our service is happening over there in Canton. And we've been going for 5 years, and the last 2 to 3 years, we've been able to have a facility where we're blessed enough to leave our stuff set up for the most part. And this is coming after 3 years of being a completely portable campus, setting up and tearing down every single Sunday. But our volunteers, they're still going strong. They're loving it. They loved it then, and they love it even more now because we don't have all that work that we have to do. Now, our Discovery Land is going strong. Quest is going strong, and we're getting amazing support from the Peoria campus through their curriculum, and we are so blessed. The crazy thing is, the kids on our campus, some days I feel like they're gonna overtake us. The amount of kids is incredible, but our Discovery Land team, our Dream Team volunteers, they do an amazing job of pouring into this next generation. We've got a great team that's running with Converge. We're seeing growth in that. We've got a ministry center that we're able to start to provide classes for the community, like Get Free, Alpha, doing what Jesus did throughout the week, and we are excited. But I wanna say this, you Dream Teamers, we could not do it without you. On all of our campuses, even online right now, Dream Teamers, we love you. We could never do this without you. and the goodness of God. So right now in this place, can we give it up for all of our dream teamers? We love you guys. And the Bible says in Mark 9 that the greatest of you is the one who serves. And I want to say to you, dream teamers, you are the greatest, and we love you. Now, before we get in there, you guys ready? We're going to dig into the Word. You guys got your Bibles? Come on, you got to talk to me, because I'm a relational type guy, and I need some feedback, or I'm just going to mumble on, right? There we go. Come on. Checks in the mail. Checks in the mail. Well, let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for the opportunity, for the blessing to be able to speak your word, Lord. And that's what I want to do. I want to speak your name, because your name is power, your name is life, your name is healing. That you would just use me to speak. Let anything that I say fall to the wayside. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're in this series called Seven, on the seven redemptive names of God. And I'm loving this series because if you know me, you know names are my jam. I love meeting people. I love learning their names. And it comes easy to me. It's a phenomenon. I don't know why, but I just love it and it is easy for me. And I really feel that names are important. It's how we refer to people. It's how we address them. And when someone remembers your name, it makes you feel seen, makes you feel known. And as we learn the names of God, like we've been doing in this series, we learn how we can refer to Him. We learn how we can, in every circumstance, know that there is a name like Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Like Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Like Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my banner, or my victory. Like Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace, and Lord, I need your peace right now. And like Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. And today we're going to dig into one more of those, and it is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Several years ago, I wasn't known as a pastor, but rather I was known as a firefighter paramedic. And working as a firefighter paramedic, I learned a lot about standards, like the standard level of care, like standard procedures or protocols. And these were the set guidelines we were to follow as we responded to emergencies in the field. And when we would respond and maybe there was a patient that would refuse the care that we wanted to provide, that standard level of care, they would go and seek out other care, whether it's going back home and self-medicating, or maybe they just didn't do anything about it. They would refuse that standard of care. And if they were to trust us and let us care for them, we would have to follow these guidelines. But if we ever deviated from them, it could spell disaster. Not only for the patient, but for our crews that were working, whether it was a fire or an emergency situation with an accident, if we failed to follow these procedures, it could be bad. And we would not be in right standing with our organization. And just to give you a little context and talk to you a little about what's happening in this verse today, the Israelites, they didn't follow the standard of God. They weren't digging in. They weren't going after what he was saying. And just like those protocols that I was to follow, it led them to disaster. And so that wasn't only just the Israelites themselves, but it was their leaders. It was the government officials. It was the faith leaders. And so they just said, hey, you know what? God, we're going to put you on the back burner. We're going to seek after other gods. We're going to give into the cultures of today, and we don't want to follow those standards. And so that's where we are when we get into Jeremiah 23. So if you have your Bibles, get those out. Turn to Jeremiah 23, or if you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, tap over to Jeremiah 23. And we're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. They'll have that on the screen for you, but we're going to start in verse 1. It says this: "What sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the shepherds of my sheep, for they have destroyed and scattered the very ones they were expected to care for, says the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to these shepherds. Instead of caring for my flock and leading them to safety, you have deserted them and driven them out to destruction. Now I will pour out my judgments on you for the evil you have done to them. But I will gather together the remnant of my flock from the countries where I have driven them. I will bring them back to their own sheepfolds, and they will be fruitful and increase in number. Then I will appoint responsible shepherds who will care for them, and they will never be afraid again. Not a single one will be lost or missing. I, the Lord, have spoken. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from the King David's line, and he will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land, and his name will be the Lord is our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu." Can we get an amen for the God, our righteousness? The Lord is saying through Jeremiah, you done messed up, leaders. You've done messed up. Not only did you not provide the standard of care, you led them to their own destruction. You deserted them. Now there are consequences. But in the midst of all the chaos and destruction and impending captivity, I'm going to show you how much I love my people. I'm going to show you that there is a hope. And not only am I going to bring my people back to their land, I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to increase their numbers, and I'm going to put leaders in charge that will be responsible. They'll provide a standard. They're going to provide a standard of care. They're going to guide them in righteousness, and they won't be scared, for the time is coming. For the Lord, our righteousness. Now, this isn't the first time God's people have turned away from him to seek after other gods and give into the culture of the day. And as I studied and prepared for this message, I saw it over and over again in the Old Testament, that there would be a leader that sought after God, and the people would come back and they'd be blessed. And then all of a sudden, the leader would turn, or a new leader would come in, and they would deviate from the standard of what God had put before them. You see it all over again. They did what was right in their own eyes. They did what was right in their own eyes. They did evil in the sight of God. And I'd like to say that after this point, that was the end of it. But unfortunately, this isn't the last time that people have turned from God. And we just look at our society today, and just like in the Old Testament times, people today are being led to, and they're seeking after a God that's more affirming of their lifestyle, a God that looks at their values and is okay with them, and a God that looks at their goals, and he's like, yeah, sure, whatever, do whatever you want. But that is not the God that we serve. And I love that we're a part of a church that's not afraid to tackle the tough stuff in our present culture, and I feel that our leadership does an amazing job addressing every issue with love and grace. And most importantly, they do it without deviating from the standard that God has set before us. Hear me today, church, the one true God who created us in his image, the God who has set his standard not only in this book, but in our hearts. The God who desires to be in relationship with us, Jew and Gentile alike, is saying here in Jeremiah, I want to bring you back. I want to bless you. I want to put a leader over you that will not harm you, a leader that will care for you, feed you so that you are satisfied and you don't have to seek after anyone but him. He's saying, I want to give you hope. I want to put you in right standing with me. I want to be in relationship with you, and all that I need you to do is accept me as your Jehovah Sid Canu. All that I need you to do is to call on me, the God, your righteousness. Because apart from him, apart from Jehovah Sid Canu, you will never be in right standing. And the other day I was listening to Francis Chan. I try to catch him every so often. And he was saying this. He was saying that a lot of people say, well, a loving God won't punish. And he says, you don't understand. A righteous God cannot ignore a crime. His love, his righteousness go together. Yes, he loves us, but he is also a righteous God and a fair God. And because he's perfectly righteous, he can't just let you sin and do nothing about it. This is why he had to raise up a righteous branch. Because in our humanness, we can't attain right standing with him. That righteous descendant of King David is the one and only Jesus Christ. And through his immaculate conception, his sinless life, his death, burial, and resurrection, he has fulfilled the prophecy that we're seeing here in Jeremiah 23, that he is our righteousness. Yeah, say it louder. Amen. We need to celebrate that. Celebrate that Jesus is our righteousness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he made Christ who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to him and placed in right relationship with him by his gracious, loving kindness. Now, many of us have taken that step across the line of faith and accepted Jesus as our righteousness. Yet some of us feel like we don't measure up. And in the Bible, sometimes people were called righteous simply because they obeyed the law. But throughout the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus, righteousness is not just about our outward behavior. It's a matter of our heart. It's a matter of our thoughts. It's a matter of our motives. It's a matter of our desires. Our goal should not be to do what he says. Our goal should be to become like him. Ephesians 4:24 says, to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. When we daily put on his likeness and his righteousness, we're seeking to live within his standards. And in the words of Addison Litch, Christian righteousness is a direction, a loyalty, a commitment, a hope, and only someday an arrival. Now, because righteousness is a matter of our heart, our thoughts, our motives, and our desires, many of us face barriers to growth in righteousness. So the question today is, how do we overcome those barriers? You know, some of us feel that because of the imputed righteousness that we get when we accept Jesus, we only live under the freedom of God's grace and continue to live in our sin patterns. But Romans 6:14 doesn't say to just live in that freedom of grace. It says that sin is no longer your master. And when we live under that false assumption that grace is an excuse for our sin patterns, we no longer operate under grace. We are operating under deception. Let me say that again. When we operate under the false assumption that grace is an excuse for our sin patterns. We are no longer operating under grace, but we are operating under deception. And this is a terrible place to be. Some of us understand that sin is no longer our master, but then we fill our lives with other things that distract us from living out our righteousness, things that cause us not to hunger and thirst after his righteousness. And just like if we lose our appetite for physical food, it can be usually an indicator of something wrong with us. In similar fashion, when we no longer hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, it can be a sign that we are spiritually unwell. Now, my family and I, we just got back from vacation down in the great state of Alabama. Come on, give it a roll tide in this place. Let me hear you. I know there's Alabama fans in here. You can be louder than that. Canton, you better make up for all those other fans. We love Alabama in our home. And before we left on our trip, we embarked on this excursion to Sam's Club because we're a snacking family. We love our chewy snacks. And we got this enormous bag. I think it was like 2 pounds of the Wiley Wallaby watermelon licorice. Say that really fast. We were also, by the grace of God, gifted a bag, 5-pound bag of Marlboro gummy bears. Not the sugar-free ones, because that could be disastrous. They don't follow the standard of making gummy bears with that. But as you can see, we like candy in our family, especially for long trips. But we learned pretty quick that our son really loves the watermelon licorice, and he had eaten nearly half of it by the time we got to Paducah from here. I don't know where he put it, but he did. But we had stopped in Paducah because we had planned to stay overnight, cut up our trip so we didn't have 21 hours of driving straight back with kids in the back seat. We don't have a brother Nathan to take care of the kids. But we do have a brother Nathan that blessed us with a stack of Red Lobster cards. And so, brother, thank you so much. But we stopped there, and we were going to get dinner at Red Lobster because of those gift cards. And man, we don't normally do this when we go to Red Lobster. We're pretty conscious of our pocketbook, especially in this economy today. But since we had those gift cards, we were like, hey, kids, get whatever you want. And these kids have never heard us say that. They're always like, can I get just some French fries? But we said, hey, get what you want and in any quantity that you want. Nathan supplied gift cards. And so we started off with calamari, and then Shauna and McKinley, they shared a giant ultimate feast, which included all the lobster, the crab legs, the shrimp, and the sides, and don't forget the salad. Now, I got my own ultimate feast because I don't share food. That's where God's grace covers me, but I just don't share food. Now, Jackson ordered a 3-course meal that started with the Cheddar Bay biscuits and salad, then went into a lobster bisque soup. He ended up with 2 kinds of shrimp. That coconut shrimp, come on, somebody. Gotta love that coconut shrimp. Clapping on the way out. Hey, not only was it coconut shrimp, it had that coconut dipping sauce with the pineapple in it. Come on, who's hungry? All right, Red Lobster for lunch today. But a few bites into his lobster bisque, he realized that his stomach was hurting. He tried to power through a couple coconut shrimp, but the damage was done. He had been snacking on the watermelon licorice for hours and had no room for the delicious feast before him. Friends, some of us are snacking so much on the world that we no longer have room to hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. We're missing out on God's feast. We're missing out on God's feast because we're filling up on Twitter and Netflix instead of his word. We're missing out on God's feast because we're filling it up with Instagram and TikTok instead of spending time in his presence. A few years ago, I set a goal at the beginning of the year, and this goal was to post 3 times a day on Instagram. Now, this wasn't to just get Instagram famous or Insta famous, whatever they call it today, but it was to try to get some routine in my life. It was to maybe inspire somebody to get into the Word, or maybe to get into the gym. But it didn't work out that way. You see, I'd post a picture of the time that I woke up, usually at some hour that most people don't even know is on the clock, 3 to 4 a.m., and I'd give some cliche quote. Then the second post would be some type of scripture to kind of make it seem biblical, that what I was doing. And then the third one would be some activity I was doing, maybe something at the gym. And what ended up happening was I spent more time staging pictures, composing these pictures to get it right, to look right, to have the right lighting than I did in his word. The really messed up thing is I spent more time checking every minute, every hour, how many likes and comments I had on Instagram, on Facebook, how many new follows I had, instead of spending time in his presence, instead of digging into his word. And instead of having that hunger and thirst for righteousness, I had a hunger and thirst for Insta famous. What I learned through that experience is that I ended up feeling dissatisfied and just full of anxiety. I also learned that just a little bit of snacking on the things of this world will spoil your appetite for the righteousness of God. And now, with all the outside voices in our media trying to convince us how to think, neglecting prayer and scripture is one of the most dangerous things we can do. We need more prayer and scripture and less Netflix binging and social media. We need to make time for prayer. And I'm not talking about just going and saying, hey, God, I've got this list before you, and can you just answer it? We need to spend time with him, talking to him. And that includes allowing him to speak to us. We need a steady diet of his word, which reveals his standard of right and wrong. His word, which tells us who we are and whose we are. Instagram doesn't do that for me. TikTok doesn't do that for me. It's the word of God that tells me who I am. And it is then and only then can we experience the promise that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. So, what are you snacking on that is causing you to miss out on the feast God has before you? The feast that'll satisfy you, the feast that will sustain you. Some of you may be saying, but Jason, I don't know how to pray, or even what to pray, or I struggle to find time to pray. And I challenge you with this. I challenge you to start out with the Lord's Prayer from Luke 11. This prayer is the one that Jesus modeled for us. It not only connects us with God, but it aligns our priorities with his. And it helps us to live reliant on him. And the best part of it, it takes about 10 to 15 minutes when you get started. And if you struggle to dig into his word, I encourage you to get into a Bible reading plan, like the one-year Bible. You can find the one that we're utilizing here at Northwoods on our website, northwoods.church/Bible. And if you've started reading a Bible plan and have missed a day or two, don't sweat it. They've got a button in there that you can hit. It'll catch you back up, bring you back to where you left off. And one of the greatest things I think we did this year, it was something new for my wife and I, is we began the year reading the Bible, but we decided to bring friends along with us. Us and another couple are going through the entire Bible, and what's great about this Bible app is you can have some accountability. There's these little check marks that show up when you've read it. So if you didn't do your reading, we can say, hey, what's going on? You missed it. You okay? And check in with them. And one of my favorite things is you can leave insights. And so we're learning from each other. We're growing together. We're in community. And so if you don't have a community of people around you who are seeking God's righteous rule in their lives, get connected. Some of the ways you can get connected here are join a small group, sign up for any of our classes. There's some that are starting up this fall, like Alpha, doing what Jesus did, get free. And there are so many people within those classes that would love to do life with you. In closing today, some of you here haven't been just snacking on the world. You've been feasting. You've been feasting on the world, and it has left you empty and dissatisfied. And you know you're not in right standing with God. Some of you just are unsure of your standing with God. And either way, all you have to do is invite Jesus into your life. And the moment you invite him in, he becomes your righteousness. And he places you in right standing before God. And if that's you today, I want to invite you to take a step. I want to invite you to invite Jesus to be your righteousness. And now with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that is you today, would you say this simple prayer with me? You can say it right there in your seat. All you have to do is repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead just to put me in right standing with God. I turn from my sin and I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow your standard. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for being the Lord, my righteousness. In your name, amen." Amen. We give it up for those that said that prayer today. And if you said that prayer today, I want to encourage you to pick up a yes packet that's out in the lobby. And for you guys that are online or at one of our campuses, you can actually text the word yes to the number that's on your screen, or in the chat, you can just raise your hand. And I know the campuses have the yes packets on site in their lobbies, but pick one of those up. And I also want to take a moment to encourage you to take the next step of living out your newfound righteousness. One of those steps is our Alpha course starting on August 30th. And the great thing about this next run of Alpha is I've heard that they're going to offer it online. But I encourage you, get in it, because you need that community around you. And for those of you that are tired of snacking on the world and you're wanting to get deeper and deeper into hungering and thirsting after his righteousness, start reading the Bible. Start making time to get into his presence and get into prayer. And most importantly, start surrounding yourself in a community of people who are seeking God's righteous rule in their lives. Will you stand with me as we close in prayer. I want to bless you and thank you so much for having me. It's been a fun time up here. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you for those that have said yes to you today. And right now, I just pray a blessing upon this congregation. I pray that you would bless them and keep them, that you would make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Pray that you would lift up your countenance and give them peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and that they would walk in your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, again, thank you. Thank you. If you said that prayer today, grab your yes packet. And if you need any prayer, if you want to get around a community, come down here. We'll have our prayer team ready to pray with you. Well, Northwoods Online, thank you so much for joining us. It has been an honor to get to speak to you today. And I challenge you to get involved. Get into a class. Alpha is a great way to start. Get Free is another one that's absolutely amazing. But most importantly, get time with God. And also get into his word. We love you guys, and we'll see you here next week.